on right now. Sure. That's why it's important. That's why we're having a drive in the summertime. That's why we're having a drive, you know, to get you to support WBI, because we are, this is it. This is it. This is, there's no question about it. This is, yeah, I can see we're running over, right, but I'm about to put it on, but I just want to get that out there for people, right, to, well, see what it is. So you take over from there.
Right. I'd like to say a very big thank you to all of you that have supported us. I think we're close to that figure that we were looking for. But you know, keep pledging, keep supporting WBI, and keep listening. And you know what? You know, keep agitating for a better WBI. We could use a better WBI. And a lot of you guys out there know what I'm talking about, so I don't have to go into that. But thank you very much for your support. I'm going to be back on Tuesday from 10 to 12 a.m. And I'm going to be back with Judge Quans. And we're going to be doing this thing that we did again on, you remember that? We had a series of classes on meditation. And I think that went very successfully.
That was beyond successful. Yeah, that was great.
So, and Mr. Quant and my, you know, and myself will be back again. He has generously given more of his time to WBAI, and, I will be hosting him on Tuesday at 10 a.m. So be listening, because I'm going to be here and I want you to be here too. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Afrobeat Radio. I'm your host, Wuyi Jacobs. You can catch me on my email at Wuyi, W-U-Y-I, at afrobeatradio.com. And my regular slot is at 4 p.m. every Saturday. See you in a couple of weeks. And thank you very much, Tony.
This is Phil Donahue. And you're listening to WBAI New York. 99.5.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Uchasha. I can't do Uchasha. O e tona ke cha man khake le la kan ompi. O a huto pa, na khu pa hu yu khampi. Taka u shkan shkan a ompi ke le na iuha. Man khake le la. Ha khan khan ka taka un eicha ke ea ke he on. O na ha ohoki chi la mani pikte. Man khake le ohoki la mi moshi ke la. He on heche. Le on yu ita.
Tata ni ma. Yeah.
Ihane washte lo mitakupi iuha chante washte na pechi uzapi yolo leon kipiki he washte lo oyate hona umpi ohola uskate wichoni. Greetings, good morning, and welcome, my relatives. I shake your hands with good feelings in my heart, and the whole world is a beautiful morning, like Ifei says, and it's good for all of us to be here. Let the people hear your voice respectfully, celebrate life, in addition to reality from the Pacifica Radio Network. This is First Voices Indigenous Radio coming from your radio station at is WBAI 99.5 New York City and the FM frequency, and I send you greetings and strength from the east gate of Turtle Island, where the sun and the water touch the earth at once. Our website is First Voices Indigenous Radio, and I want to thank you for your generosity as always and for being there. You know who you are. Without you, we cannot continue. On this day in worldwide Indigenous history, in 1775, at the Albany Conference, the commissioners of the British colonies in North America sought an alliance with the Six Nations Confederacy to fight against the French. The American patriots foresaw the importance of securing support or neutrality of the Indian tribes along the colonial frontier. And so the Continental Congress created three departments of Indian affairs. Imagine that. The Northern, the Middle, and the Southern Departments of Indian Affairs, and appointed commissioners to preserve peace and friendship and to prevent their taking part of the present commotions. And that was the Revolutionary War, the really beginning of it. Well, yes, today you are listening to First Voices Indigenous Radio, and as usual, we do a greeting and we come with the song, which really is talking about a prayer, how we can all come together. Only through Mother Nature. Mother Nature offers that peace that we are so looking for and longing for. And as humans, we definitely don't have the answer. And it's too bad that we don't look to nature for the peace, because we often are putting the side of nature, or, you know, putting aside nature, that it does not provide any answers except for a resource and a commodity. And in that is the violence, beginning of violence. And I think that's what we talk about here on First Voices Indigenous Radio, the differences in thinking patterns. So that's part of, you know, why we bring you First Voices Indigenous Radio. There's a lot more behind what I said, and we can think about, you know, how alternative media, progressive media, mainstream media, we'll throw it all in there, holds assumptions about all of us, actually, and those people with cultures. And I was stating earlier that the more the culture is indigenous, the more peace there really is. And although we tend to focus in and magnify certain incidences that say that, oh, the primitive indigenous peoples or the primitive people are the ones who are truly violent. And yet, and as you read the papers in the last few days, last few weeks, and all the gunplay that has been happening in New York itself, in New York City, in the five boroughs, you know, it's like an all-time high, compared to last year anyway. But, it's getting to a place that we just don't understand it, and it's acceptable that it's just going to go on. And yet, when I grew up, and a lot of you who grew up without television, without even access to radio, might understand this. You might understand that, you know, who has control of your mind really and tells you what is right and what is wrong and what is acceptable, and who analyzes and who theorizes about the influence of media violence, and who absorbs this information, and what we do with it. And so what we are going to do today is going to go right into the DVD offering that we have for you. It's called The Mean World Syndrome. It's a term coined by a guy named George Gerbner to describe a phenomenon where violence-related content of media makes viewers believe that the world is more dangerous than it actually is. It makes viewers, listeners, believe that the world is more dangerous than it actually is. And with that, I'm going to look at how we really must know about the world, the effects of course, television, radio, print media, and any kind of other media that comes at you constantly. and how many acts of violence we see within a lifetime or up until a certain age. You know, I think it's like 300,000 acts of violence before we are the age of 8 or something like this. If we watch TV or we listen to it and we hear it or we read about these acts of violence. And it has a lot to do with this so-called civilization that we are in, this syndrome of civilization, as I call it. And but first, what I want to ask you is, all of you out there that really have some time to come on down to WBAI to 120 Wall Street on the 10th floor to come down and volunteer for 3 hours for us this morning, or even into the afternoon. And there is some special discounts and packages and memberships that they offer here in the studios for those of you who come down and volunteer time. And I know that they are located on WBAI's new website, WBAI.org. And for those of you who are listening, that if you come on down and get call the number 212-209-2900 and ask our receptionist to put your name into the register, because you want to come on down and volunteer to answer phones, volunteer. And they will show you how. The process is very short. You can come on down and meet producers. You can meet me after. You can meet other producers that will be coming in daily here throughout our fund drive. And you can come in and just say hello to these producers. Some people, you know, that I've known, that I've talked to for a long time, I've never met you. I've never known you. I've never met you, but I've talked to you over the phone. You have listened to my voice, at least on the air here every Thursday mornings, normally at 9 a.m. on First Voices Indigenous Radio and WBAI and other radio stations, the 41 other radio stations that are broadcasting and rebroadcasting First Voices Indigenous Radio throughout North America and South America and Central America. And those of you who are online, you can also go to WBAI.org and donate to this time slot from 10 until 12 on today, actually, to know that we as First Voices Indigenous Radio are really valid in its time slot on 9 a.m. and offering you the world's views, the world perspective, the worldwide perspective of Indigenous peoples. And a lot of people think, because I am a native person here in this country now called America, that I am of that. And this show is of that, but that's not the complete view. We do offer native, quote unquote, American programming, but it's not exclusively a Native American program. It is about Indigenous peoples worldwide, and it always has been about Indigenous peoples. And so therefore, if you understand how we are really closely connected and that we are more concerned about Indigenous peoples primarily because they're only 5%. We are only 5% of the world's population. But the thing is, we speak about, of the world's 6,500 languages spoken worldwide, Native people speak about 5,200 of those languages. 5,200 of those languages out of the 6,500 languages spoken worldwide. Now, but we are only 5% of the world's population. There seems to be an imbalance when 2 to 3 Indigenous peoples go extinct every 2 weeks. Then we have to think about why First Voices Indigenous Radio is on the air, because it is an urgency. And I'm sure that because of your exposure to media violence here and the effects of attitudes and perceptions of and attitudes towards the real world, which is stating a difference between how we perceive what the real world is and the illusion that we are living in the real world. Well, this is part of why the Mean World Syndrome, the DVD that we are offering here, 212-209-2950, to get ahead of the others so that you know what you're getting here, is that, you know, the pervasive cultural trends represented by networks, by television, by broadcast journalism, drama, and popular conception of realities in the areas of health and behavior and policy always tells us that we are dying and that we are about to die because violence is at the forefront of everything that we fear. So this is basically a documentary that is based on the central idea of the cultivation hypothesis, and that those who watch television, listen to mainstream radio, and I would even insert alternative radio, because we tend to sensationalize violence, and we listen to it all the time, and therefore we have a reason to listen to progressive alternative radio. They are more likely to regard the real world according to the themes and messages most recurrent in what they absorb from the world of television and the world of radio. So this production is narrated by Michael Morgan, who is also out of the University of Massachusetts with a communications degree, who worked with Gerbner for over two decades and off and composed five sections. And the first one that we are going to be listening to is A Tidal Wave of Violence, which talks about the volume of violence in mass media, entertainment, video games, everything else. So those of you who think that you are already know this stuff, I would dare that you listen again into this what fuses us into saying that we are also part of the choir, that we've heard this before. Well, it's not about that. It's why we have normalized the story that we are part of the aware people, which is actually distorting perception of the risk and danger in the world, because that means that we are accepting it even more. And the more intelligent people are, the more we tend to rationalize everything that we cannot accept. And if that makes sense to you, please listen up. 212-209-2950. This is the Mean World Syndrome, and we are offering it here on First Voices Indigenous Radio. And before we begin this DVD, this over 1 hour DVD, 212-209-2950 is the number to call. And that is for First Voices Indigenous Radio. And we will go into that right now. And we will really make sure that we are watching this, because it said strong language in the beginning, and I did watch it, but I didn't hear, you know, any of those seven famous words that George, what's his name? George Carlin said here at WBAI way back, and I believe it was the 70s. And so we're going to watch for that. But yes, please listen in. This is the Mean World Syndrome. We're offering it for $100. And those of you who, you know, before you go out to the beach, before you go out, please listen to it. Because once you listen to this, then you have a little more awareness about what is out there, how much you personally perpetuate and accept and pass on the idea of violence out there, and how much we really have gotten away from the natural processes of who we are. Here we go. This is the Mean World Syndrome. And again, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Teoxin Ghost Horse.
Ever since Hollywood added sound to the movies in the late 1920s, debate has raged about the impact of violent media on our minds and our behavior. From alarm about violence in the movies in the 1930s, to concerns about the acceleration of violent content across virtually the entire media landscape today, hundreds of studies and countless congressional hearings have looked at the issue of media violence and have always seemed to end up at the same place.
Does anyone disagree with that conclusion, that your violence in films propagates violent conduct on behalf of the children?
A debate about whether those exposed to media violence are prone to imitate it, and whether media is to blame for society's ills. But for all the endless debate, a basic question remains. Is the issue really about whether we imitate what we see? And if that's the case, why do the vast majority of us watch TV and never commit a violent act? This film looks at the work of a man who took a more complicated look at the issue of media violence. The late communication scholar George Gerbner spent the better part of four decades trying to understand media violence as part of the larger complex of stories we tell ourselves as a culture. Stories that reveal and shape how we see the world and our place in it. And what he found was as remarkable as it was simple. Not that consuming media violence is likely to make us violent or to commit acts of violence, but something else entirely, that it's likely to make us more scared of violence being done to us.
as a citizen, I would consider a matter of very grave concern, because a society in which most people or many people already expect a high degree of victimization, sooner or later they're going to get it.
George Gerbner's exposure to violence came early and on an epic scale. First when, as a young man, he fled to the United States from his native Hungary to escape fascism. Then, a short time later, when he enlisted in the U.S. Army to fight in World War II. Going on to earn the Bronze Star for bravery as a member of the Office of Strategic Services for parachuting into enemy territory under heavy fire in one of the war's bloodiest battles. With his war experience behind him, Gerbner would spend the rest of his life trying to understand violence, specifically how the portrayal of violence through images and stories affected our consciousness and behavior in the real world. He rose to prominence as one of the world's foremost media scholars, serving as dean of the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania for 25 years, and directing one of the most important and influential research efforts ever undertaken to understand the effects of television. He called it the Cultural Indicators Research Project. Since it began in the late 1960s, the Cultural Indicators Project has systematically tracked media violence and measured its impact on the perceptions and attitudes of viewers. And what Gerbner and his colleagues found was that exposure to media violence seemed to have more complicated effects than simply causing people to act violently. Effects rooted not only in the quantity of violence in the media, but also in its quality, in how it was portrayed, in the stories these simulations of violence tell about our relationships to the world and others. I'm Michael Morgan, professor of communication at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. And for over 25 years, I worked with George Gerbner doing research on the effects of media. Gerbner, who died in 2005, sat with us for an extensive set of interviews toward the end of his life to discuss his ideas about media violence and how it functions in society. This film is based on those interviews, and it begins where Gerbner always began. The fact that commercial media have eclipsed religion, art, oral traditions, and the family as the great storytelling engine of our time.
Today, a handful of global conglomerates own and control the telling of all the stories in the world. They have global marketing formulas that are imposed on the creative people in Hollywood, and I'm in touch with them, and they hate it. They say, don't talk to me about censorship from Washington. I never heard about that. I get censorship every day. I'm told, put in more action, cut out complicated solutions. They apply this formula because it travels well on the global market. These are formulas that need no translation, they're essentially image-driven, that speak action in any language, and of course the leading element of that formula is violence. This is a historically unprecedented tidal wave of images of violence inundating every home, often with expertly choreographed brutality, such as the world has never seen. This is an expansion and a mass production and the introduction into every home. A relentless, pervasive exposure to violence and brutality many times a day.
The numbers are staggering. Children now see about 8,000 murders by the end of elementary school. and about 200,000 violent acts by the age of 18. From movies to television shows to video games to children's programs to 24-hour news channels, aggression is now routine, everyday, formulaic, a staple industrial ingredient. And in fact, for Gerbner, it is the routine nature of this violence that makes it so dangerous and so different from the past.
Now, this is not the same as traditional storytelling. Of course, there was violence in Shakespeare. There was violence in fairy tales. And that, in effect, if you think about it, violence is a legitimate artistic and journalistic feature. It is even necessary to show the tragedy and the pain and the damage that these obsessions with violent solutions to human conflict can create in lives, in communities, and in societies. But most of the violence that we see is what I call happy violence.
Dr. Armand Dorian will analyze the injuries the warriors and their weapons will inflict.
This guy is going to be watching his own guts spill out.
It has to be highly entertaining violence. That means that they're thrilling, that they're swift, that they're often glamorous, that they're certainly spectacular, and they always lead to a happy ending.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. That man was fast as light.
Sugar-coated with humor, to be sure.
I mean, do you think that God came down from heaven and stopped?
Oh, what's happening?
Oh, man, I shot Marvin in the face.
Why the did you do that?
But humor makes the pill easier to swallow. Humor is an excellent communication device because the pill is the pill of power, of who can get away with what against whom.
So, from Gerbner's perspective, what matters most about media violence, whether it's meant to be humorous or silly or not, is not simply the quantity of violence that now saturates the media landscape, but how it all adds up to tell a story that reinforces and normalizes a certain view of the world. In this way, it's not simply the violent acts on their own, but the meaning of all this violence that has the greatest effect on those who are most immersed in it. And it's here, on this point, that Gerbner breaks with an entire tradition.
And that is the Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. It's based on the work of George Gerbner. This is over an hour of DVD and showing George Gerbner and other people here. The Mean World Syndrome is offered to you now for $100 here at WBAI and First Voices Indigenous Radio. For years, debates have raged among scholars, politicians, and concerned parents about the effects of media violence on viewers. And too often, these debates have descended into simplistic battles between those who claim that media messages directly cause violent behavior and those who argue that activists exaggerate the impact of media exposure altogether. And if you are that activist, then, you know, and you know what you are doing, then think about how mainstream media and other people think that activists, you, the activist, exaggerate the impact of media exposure altogether, when we know, because we are activists, that that has happened to us and that we have supported actually those people that violence has happened to. There's an outrage out there right now in New York streets because of, you know, the stop and frisk, the you know, the racial profiling, all these things are happening out there. But I'm going to come at you from a little different angle. As an Indigenous person, you can listen and look and can be concerned about the Black and the White and Latino and Asian, but nothing is ever being said about Indigenous peoples because we are excluded. And you will understand why we are excluded, the deeper meaning of the exclusion when it comes to just like even things like this media violence here, why we are left out and always, because it's never been affronted. It never will be affronted as long as everything else is diverted to the mainstream, and that we should change the mainstream when we actually all, as the alternative class, so-called alternative and progressive class, haven't changed it ourselves because we are being diverted with that attention. This DVD talks a little bit about that violence and how it's perpetuated even with those of you who think you're part of the choir, that we are singing to the choir. This is something much different. It's the cultivation of that fear. We often, like George Gerbner said, the commercial media has eclipsed religion and art and storytelling, and in all the world, it accepted happy violence and of course, happy ending. And that's what we always look to, because that's the American dream, is always a happy ending, that we no longer have to suffer. And yet, when we accept the regular mainstream view of, okay, we are away from violence now, but we'll send it right out, we will write out a check and send it to that cause over there. That means we are free. We have washed our hands of the violence and actually have really perpetuated, because we are still not doing anything about it. So this DVD that we are offering to you for $100 here on First Voices Indigenous Radio means a lot to us here at WBAI. We need to get this ball rolling to keep First Voices Indigenous Radio on the air. This is the only time that I will be offering the Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. And there's plenty of reviews out there about how this should be in all high school classes. This should be in the grad school level here in this system. And for years, debates have been raging among scholars and politicians and concerned parents about the effects of media violence on viewers and listeners, I would say, because radio is part of that storytelling that's been taken over, and it's become part of the commercial media. And we don't understand it, but we have to look into that a little more deeper. And this has so many parts here. We talk about the sections here, the introduction that you heard about George Gerbner and how he came up and studied for nearly five decades the violence in media. And also, you know, the next part we listened to was a tidal wave of violence, how it comes at us every day, how many acts of violence we see before the age of 8, I believe it is. And these things that we constantly see, not just the advertisements, we're talking about the acts of violence that we see, regardless of whether we are watching TV or not, we still see it. Even in everyday life, we see violence by the way men treat women, by the way we treat our kids, by the way we treat Mother Earth. Those are acts of violence, and we just kind of go along and accept it. So this is what I want you to do to really help us out here at First Voices Indigenous Radio, is to sit down and think about a pledge of $100 to get this DVD, The Mean World Syndrome, for $100, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. And it is well worth it. I watched it twice because I was in such ignorance when I thought I knew about everything. When I've read all the papers, the books about it, and listened to and gone to workshops, so what I think how we can stop media violence. And this is coming at it in another way. George Gerbner, some of you who are PhDs out there, grad school work, have done the grad school work and really listened to George Gerbner. Well, there's a little addition to these things. And when we talk about the media as storytellers, we understand that the storytelling aspect has been taken away, and we've commercialized even storytelling. And that's a mainstay for all Indigenous peoples, is the storytelling aspect and oral tradition. So I include radio as part of that. Radio is an oral tradition, which is a storytelling medium, as well as television, as well as any other media out there, print media as well. There is other sections to this DVD, The Mean World Syndrome. The Mean World Syndrome is the third and fourth section here. It's also, there's one that we will be listening to. It's like the fish in the water. And it's also coming back to the mean people. It's all also coming back to the fallout. So we have a lot to cover here, folks, and we will be talking about this and the risk and danger that exaggerated perceptions have, and the appetite for hardline and repressive political solutions to social problems. Doesn't that sound familiar here, even in the alternative world? The heightened state of insecurity that is cultivated by the fear-charged cultural environment on television and radio that cultivates that heightened state of authority and a state of insecurity, I would say, exaggerated perception of risk and danger, and appetite for hardline and repressive political solutions to social problems. And part of that political solution is to react in warmongering, and that's what has happened here. We, after 2001, 9/11, guess what happened to this country? And I would like to say that what happens to people who are living in fear, how we got to this cultivation of fear, and how we deny that we are in fear, because we are no longer in touch with ourselves, because what we are doing is actually thinking about the fear and how we can survive the war. How do we deal with fear, in a sense? Because what happens physically is that the blood leaves the most highest energy part of the body, which is the heart. That the highest energy center in our bodies is the heart. The brain is a second, and that is very minuscule compared to the energy of the heart. Well, that blood leaves the center and goes out to your extremities and goes to your head, goes to your feet, and goes to your hands. So we are living in that constant thought process of fight or flight. And so we are thinking the stuff. So it makes sense that we watch it and we listen to the violence and we've got to do something about it, but we don't know how, because that's not given to us yet. The secret is going back into the center and finding this out. And this is not a new agey thing, folks. Science is proving that the way the world has really thought all this time is not the way America has doled it out to think what civilization and how civilized people think. This is totally wrong. And I know that, because you can see it continuing. How do you stop it? It seems like you cannot stop it until we start rethinking another way. And I'll talk about that in another section here, where we talk about the Bertrand Einstein manifesto about, you know, having no choice. But because of the tragic situation which confronts humanity right now, and what scientists should assemble in conference to appraise the perils that have arisen as a result of the development of weapons, and how we accept the mass media, the mass destruction of those weapons, and the mass media who perpetuates destruction. And we're talking the system. The system is WBAI and other alternative. We have to really understand what we are saying on the air and discuss a resolution in the spirit and append the draft that we are given, and understand who we are as a human species, as a being species who really depend and are codependent on Mother Earth. And we have gotten away from that. So that's why, to me, these are my opinions. WBAI has nothing to do with, you know, saying these political opinions. I do. And I'm going to, you know, accept those responsibilities, because our life depends on it. The species, the members of the species of man depends on that, because we all want to continue in existence, and that existence is in doubt because of the fear, the mean world syndrome, the $100 that we are offering you. If you give us $100, we will send this mean world syndrome, this DVD I have in front of me, and we can start that off by calling that number, 212-209-2950, 212-209-50. Help us out here. My name is Teokasin Ghost Horse. I am on till 12 o'clock, and it is 12:38 here, and I will be going back to the mean world syndrome and really get into it, because I think the more we present of this DVD, the more we can understand. The more we can understand, it's like, you know, we are in breathing air, but we're not aware of it. We are not aware that we are breathing air. And the next title is, it's like the fish in the water. The fish doesn't know it's in the water till it's missing the water. And the same thing here. We don't know that we're in a fear, because we're in it. And we think things are acceptable because of what we hear in music, what we hear in all media out there. We tend to think that we are doing the right thing by paying attention to the violence. The violence will take care of itself, and we have no choice. But what happens is that it's been commercialized to accept it because of our thinking process, that capitalism, or even any other of the isms that we benefit from, the political theories, the political whatever, Marxism, communism, all those things, it still makes us acceptable because those isms, political isms, have a ruling class party. There always has to be that ruling class. And so there's no difference between capitalism and communism and Marxism, all these things. You can say I didn't study these. I can say I've been a result of those isms because as indigenous peoples, we understand it fully how out of contact the system and those isms are of Mother Earth and the natural processes to Mother Earth, for Mother Earth, and with Mother Earth. And I really think that this mean world syndrome that we are offering here, 212-209-2950 for $100, is part of understanding that cultivation of that fear that I've been talking about. But I want to have the DVD and the people, the so-called experts, George Gerbner and other people, talk about this so that you can understand it even more than I do, okay? I admit that I don't understand everything, but I understand enough to know where I'm at in the place of that cultivation of fear, because as indigenous peoples, we are the evidence of the cultivation of fear, and that a lot of people will not look at because it's at the bottom, it's at the beginning of this country. It is what they did to us. Everybody else seems to be paid attention to, but indigenous peoples are not being paid attention to because primarily we are defending Mother Earth. We are not attacking Mother Earth to get benefits, to live off and say that we are civilized. We are defending Mother Earth, you know, and we have no fear of defending Mother Earth. Now, can you say that? Can you actually reach out and say that you are defending Earth, Mother Earth? And think about that. And this DVD helped me to think these thoughts. And if you want to also, you know, add to those thoughts, then this is part of joining in WBAI, the Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence, and the Cultivation of Fear. And 212-209-2950. We've only had a couple of calls, and of course, our tally board won't show up. But I do implore you to call, 212-209-2950 by Visa, MasterCharge, MasterCard, and American Express. That's it. See, I'm forgetting all these plastics out there. But this is how you can even log on to WBAI.org and say, I like this program that I'm hearing right now. It's called First Voices Indigenous Radio, and I want to pledge $100 and get this The Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. Folks, this is not a passive and a passing and a passive endeavor here. This really is at the crux of why we accepted it. We accept it. So we just kind of roll over. We acquiesce to the thoughts and theories of mainstream and alternative media out there. And I'm talking about things like, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to say NPR and other stations that really kind of soften everything and kind of bring it to you in an entertainment value. And then it's going to be okay. And then as George Gerbner said, the happy ending, because we're always looking for that heaven on earth thing. And yet we're still in the heaven without, you know, we become no earthly good. That's basically what it is. We've gotten everything because our language has talked about disconnecting. It's made things into a higher consciousness without dealing with the consciousness we have here now. So we're basically in heaven before we even get there. And we can't confront anything because that connection to earth is really about dealing with the consciousness that we have now. Just think, if we stop thinking in higher consciousness and transcending in that terminology, and that we deal with what's here now, then things will change. And I really know this because when we confer, when we are sitting in that spiritual conference of who we are as a human species, and there is nothing else left to take from Mother Earth, then only then we can see. But we haven't reached that spot, or have we? So we need to come up with a resolution. We need to discuss a resolution. And part of that is having and this value, this The Mean World Syndrome. This DVD, The Value of the Mean World Syndrome, I'm sure will reach across the ages, media violence, and the cultivation of fear. The cultivation of fear to make Arabs, to make black people, to make Latinos, to make Asians into the things that we fear, and to make the illegal immigrants into something so fearful. And, you know, the images that put forth, you know, the Latino man is one of violence and one of sexual, you know, machismo, and it's put into all those fears. And yet, when you look at the people that come from the South, so-called South, most of those are indigenous peoples, and the other violence that comes from what media perpetuates. So we think that these emotional, these violent, these overly sexual Latino people are this way, and we're forgetting about the humanity. And so as an indigenous person, I know that illusion that's being created by the American dialogue that happened way back in the 1700s and the 1600s and 1500s and way back to 1492. Understand that, you know, think about that. It started way back then to continue that there was no people here on the side of the planet. Therefore, it was okay because of their God. Their God said that, you know, therefore we can take the land and treat her as a female and dominate. It's something that Native people don't even have. The concept of domination does not exist. And you think about that. The domination that you are under called freedom, domination, free domination, while they're dominating you. They're dominating your thoughts through the whole process. Even that net, what little you have of natural thought process has been dominated by the commercialization of media, which has eclipsed religion and art and storytelling in all the world. So the more we turn on the television, the more we turn on media that's not even paying attention to the reality of who we are, and it's promoting religion, it's promoting commercialization, and we all are acquiescing to think that, oh, that's the way to go. We all got to live. And so we just kind of give up on really getting back to our natural processes of who we are as truly human beings. The Mean World Syndrome, the Media Violence, and the Cultivation of Fear is a DVD that we are offering to you. More than 1 hour of concern, of caring about what we are listening to on the radio, even this radio station. All radio stations, what we read in the print media, what the books that are offered to us that sensationalize things so that we can go to the bestseller list, that, you know, anything from how we take care of our fingernails to cancer to spirituality, which has really turned into a religiosity because that's been commercialized. That's what religion is. It's a business. And so we turn spirituality into that, and we offer and we continue to fool the people, and we say we're shamans. So we're going to go out, and this is, I was trained by a Native American shaman for 2 weeks. Therefore that I can become a shaman and I'm an authority on it. That's been offered out there for far too long. And many people are continuing to listen to that illusion, that commercialization of media. So this is what we are offering here, and I'm ranting on it because I really know that it means a lot. It really does. You really have to have this in your DVD player to watch it, to understand the media violence and cultivation of fear. This is what media should be about, to understand that we have to learn this, not educate ourselves, learn it, put into action. To educate is just to put simply the information and knowledge in place. But there's no action until you learn it. And that's how we do it. When we grow up, we learn things. We are not educated, because how can you educate a kid that doesn't know how to read and write? We are teaching them by example, and that's how we must do it from out onset of who we are as indigenous peoples, as you are and your peoples were originally, that we have just gotten away from that cultivation of peace. We've gotten into the cultivation of fear. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950 is a number to call. Call us, say, yes, this really does sound like something I need, something I'd like to have and show other people. And start it now, folks. Start it now. Don't think that you are part of the choir and that you know all about this. There's always, we have to continually refresh ourselves, our minds, our spirit, and get our bodies used to the cultivation of peace rather than the cultivation of fear. And no, it's not going out to another country and accepting their religion. You know, it's about what we can do here now with that, without having to go out to another country and saying, well, this is the way they do it. It's because we lack it in ourselves. Wouldn't it make more sense that we could do this now with us, without having some kind of religious connotation of what peace is truly about from another country? That's for them. We don't need any more Buddhists. We don't need any more Christians. We don't need any more of this religion stuff. We have something here that has been given to us inherently, but we are been processed, deprogrammed, and programmed to not accept the natural process, because that is seen as so much as an evil thing. You know, and so we treat Mother Earth as if it was bad for us, that we're fighting Mother Earth. Well, guess what? Mother Earth is trying to wake us up, and you see that. You know that in media. You know that's happening out there. It happens to us every day, and we're appalled because of the fires going on out west. We're appalled because of the wars. We're appalled because we think as humans we're not doing any of this stuff. Yet we are, every one of us, because we benefit from the system that's in place. And so this is part of the rant that I'm doing here now, because I'm really feeling that what we need to really truly look at, even at this station, is how we are presenting the news. It's all hyped and sensationalized to where it's acceptable, the cultural fear. You know, even those who are researching 9/11 and saying it's an inside job, it's based on that culture of fear. You know, and that's the way you've been told that's how to take care of the political problem. That's how you've been told to take care of war. And you see within that, even within the occupation movement, I'm going to say this, the occupation movement has not put Mother Earth at the forefront of its agenda, because of the way they came out and are still continuing to look at things. It's now or never for us as a human species. And we won't get that maybe till we're gone. Then there's no sense of getting it. Part of that, and I'm really saying part of that solution, is continuing to look at things that we can learn. And part of that, the Mean World Syndrome, the $100 that we are asking you to support this radio station, most of all this radio station. You know, you don't have to support First Voices Indigenous Radio. This radio station means that we are looking, we're allowing First Voices Indigenous Radio on the air so that we can continue to bring the news about Native people, Indigenous peoples all over the world. Because when I bring it, I'm talking about the defense of Indigenous people for your mother, the earth. For your mother. That's what we do. That's the secret, folks. That's what it is. It's not in any of the positions of authority that we've been led to believe. It's not in the politics. It's not in any of that stuff. It's in the general defense of a Mother Earth. That's what it's all about. And that's where I'm going to come from. And if you really want to say, you know, maybe Teoxin makes sense, it's something that I've never heard before. Maybe it's something that we need to bring this so-called new way, this new wave, this new way that we have to. No, it's not a possible world. It's already in place. We are just not paying attention to it. You know, and of course, there's positive things I can say about what I'm saying about those religions and all those things. I can say positive things, but I've heard that so much, but I haven't seen the evidence of it. Not as much as I think I should. And I've been all over the world, and I've paid attention to this society and know the culture that I come from. And so there is a big difference. And we've been always trying to bring this society into a culture, but the cultivation of fear is not one of them. We've been trying to bring this society into a culture of peace, because we know that when you have peace with Mother Earth, then you have a culture of peace, not a culture of fear. Because when you get away from the natural processes of Mother Earth, you begin to fear that you won't have. Therefore, you develop a culture of fear that you won't have. And therefore, that extends out, and the corporations, all these people, take more and more away from you. So you're more in fear of having less and less, because we forgot how to give. And even sharing is not a proper word of that explanation of giving, because that's a piecemeal. That's a rational way. If you could just give, then everybody else starts to give, and everybody wants to just give, and that's the most honorable thing. And when I was growing up, when my mother was growing up on a reservation, we were talking about this the other day, that all they did was give. People so materially poor, but they gave, and it made them happy. And there was no alcohol, and there was none of the processed foods. There was no TV. There was hardly any radios, if anything, cars at all. These people were giving all the time, and they were happy, and they were healthy. And then the onset of mass America, mass media America came in, the, you know, coming to help us poor native people, you know, understand that we can live a better life when we were happy just being who we were. And we always had food. We never starved. But, you know, of course, media says that that's what we did. We were all alcoholics even today. And now that we're all rich and have gambling casinos, that's another mass media, even alternative. I mean, I can walk in here and people think that because I am an Indian that I am automatically slotted into being rich because I receive benefits from a casino. That's not true. That's not true. And that we are all alcoholics, you know, that's not true either. It's a high rate just as much as the United States. United States does it behind doors. That's the difference. But there is one big major difference here, that once a Native American sobers up, they stay sober for the rest of their life. That's the biggest majority in the world, indigenous peoples, because we know what the real world is. The other people have to continue to learn coping skills to deal with what's attacking them, and that's a cultivation of fear. So that's an addition to what I am saying about the mean world syndrome, the media violence, and cultivation of fear. $100. We have to get back to this now because you can listen to this. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Before we go to the break, I've been ranting and raving here, and because I really do want this to mean something to you. The mean world syndrome, media violence, and the cultivation of fear. You're listening to First Voices Indigenous Radio here for a special edition until 12. And here we go. We're going to go back into it. This part is called It's Like the Fish in the Water.
This is a document signed by six of the major public health organizations saying that the violence and the entertainment, the level that we've attained to today, is causing increased aggressive behavior among some children.
The typical notion of effects on television, and indeed most of the media questions and discussion about the effects of television, can be exemplified by the notion that when people ask about violence, they say, does it create more violence?
There's something else that the experts we talk to say about this increase in teen violence and crime. They say it may be caused by the messages that are being sent to the teens.
The effect is supposed to be an imitation and kind of a monkey see, monkey do effect.
In Indianapolis Monday, a four-year-old told police he shot his sister in the head because he saw someone do it on the TV.
And when you see violence, you're going to conduct violence and you're going to commit violence.
Does anyone disagree with that conclusion that your violence in films propagates violent conduct on behalf of the children?
Well, this is really trivial. The contribution of television violence into the actual committing of violence is practically negligible, and nobody has been able to demonstrate that it is a significant contributor compared to poverty, compared to subcultures in which violence is very frequent, compared to many other factors that really are the root causes of violence.
The oversimplified view that media violence causes violent behavior has its roots in the earliest media research, which grew out of fears about the sensational and violent content of Hollywood's first talking motion pictures, and what this violence was doing to the minds of kids who were now flocking to movie houses. The best known of these research efforts, the Payne Fund studies of 1929 to 1932, seemed to find that crime and violence in films had a powerful, direct, and lasting effect on children. sowing the seeds for future nervous disorders. And even though this research raised interesting questions in the infancy of media research, it missed the bigger picture by focusing on the immediate and short-term emotional reactions of audiences exposed to particular instances of violence. And perhaps the most influential example of this view that mass media messages have a direct and immediate effect on audiences would come just a few years later.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's.
On October 30th, 1938, Halloween Eve, Orson Welles presented the H.G. Wells science fiction classic War of the Worlds to a national audience and proceeded to scare the wits out of a good many of his listeners with this Victorian tale of alien invasion.
Turning out of that black hole, two luminous discs, the eyes, this might be a face, might be almost a heaven, something wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now it's another one and another one and another one. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed.
It was compelling fiction, but it sounded like an actual news report. And there were reports of widespread panic that aliens had actually invaded the planet. The controversy reinforced fears that had been building for years about the power of mass media to exercise a direct and immediate effect on audiences and audience behavior.
I'm extremely surprised to learn that a story which has become familiar to children through the medium of comic strips and many succeeding novels and adventure stories should have had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
It didn't matter that this apparently immediate and profound effect would turn out to be nowhere near as dramatic as originally reported, or that the sensationalized press reports deflected attention away from the fact that the vast majority of people who heard the Wells broadcast knew it was fiction and didn't panic at all. The idea that media content seemed capable of exerting some kind of direct and immediate mass mind control over a passive public had taken hold in the popular imagination. In this view, which media researchers call the magic bullet theory, the assumption is that media messages act on us directly, like shots from a gun, leaving our minds changed in their wake. A view of media violence as all-powerful and viewers as essentially passive that continues to shape debates about media violence to this day. But for Gerbner, these cause and effect arguments were simply wrong when it came to making sense of media influence. More science fiction than science. They were old approaches based on the outdated notion that people are passive and mass media works on them, like some great mind control device, like a stimulus applied to lab animals, controlling what we think from the outside. This way of doing things may have made things easier for social scientists, allowing them to measure effect by examining and comparing our minds before and after we're exposed to media messages and campaigns. But in Gerbner's view, the very idea of a before and after didn't make much sense in the media context. For the simple reason, as he used to say, that with media, there is no before. We are born into a mediated environment. The question is how to measure the effects of a force that is present from the start. A sea of images, as media scholar Marshall McLuhan liked to say, that has become so familiar to us that we're often as blind to its all-encompassing presence as a fish is to water.
It's like the fish in the water. We don't know who discovered water, but we know it wasn't a fish. A pervasive medium, a pervasive environment, yes, is always beyond perception.
We have become so accustomed to our cultural environment, it's like fishing that doesn't know that it's swimming in water because it has never experienced anything else. This leads us to the notion of cultivation. Cultivation is a stable system of messages and images that shape our conception of the world and of ourselves and of life itself and of society and of power. Now the question is, how do you measure cultivation? This is a research problem that we faced, and we resolved it in the following way. We gave surveys to large groups of representative respondents. These surveys have a series of questions, not about television, not about media, but these are questions about life, question about security, question about values, question about attitudes. For example, we asked them, what are your chances of encountering violence on an average weeknight? Is it 1 in 100 or 1 in 50? We asked, would you be reluctant to go down on the street in your own neighborhood at night? Yes or no? Then we separate the responses into heavy and light viewers. And we find that in almost every instance, the heavy viewers exhibit a greater sense of insecurity. And we attribute that to the great frequency of violence encountered on television. The response pattern of heavy viewers tends to converge into what we call the television mainstream. So that with heavy viewers, the usual differences among different social groups, the differences of age, of gender, of income, of education, begin to erode. The heavy viewers, for all practical purposes, live in a meaner world. They integrate and absorb a sense of danger, of mistrust, of meanness in the world. Is what we call the mean world syndrome.
You always have to look over your shoulder. A lot of times you might feel uneasy if somebody's walking by you. You feel like you're always like on guard.
To get a handle on what Gerbner means by the mean world syndrome, it's not enough to analyze individual TV programs or films or video games. The entire media context is what matters. How one kind of story or program blends into another to create and reinforce a distinct view and sense of the world. Getting to the heart of the mean world syndrome, then, requires taking a look at TV the way most of us experience it at home, when we're not in classrooms thinking about these things, by simply picking up the remote and doing a little channel surfing. When we do, with every change of the channel, we're likely to see the most banal content, alternating with the most bizarre and violent and frightening. So that what would be shocking in our real lives in the media world comes to seem normal and mundane, reinforcing the sense that the world is a place of constant danger and threat. A world of psychotic killers.
Could you imagine smashing a person's teeth out and cutting off their fingers?
Child abductors.
Prosecutors say he raped children and tried to infect them with the AIDS virus.
Murder and mayhem.
The mayhem spreads to the back office.
Disease and plague.
A highly contagious strain of bird flu.
Swine flu deaths in the United States are rising.
It's a toxic chemical used in rocket fuel, and it's showing up in milk and drinking water.
Threats of war.
Defiance will invite the severest consequences.
And visions of the end times.
Satan is no myth. He is a monster who will rob, kill, and destroy you and you and you without mercy.
The wrath of God, the wrath of nature.
From the air, we just got word that 5 people are trapped in a canyon.
This kind of smoke looks apocalyptic.
Where people are animals.
Brian Jenkins is an animal.
And animals attack. Even in the safety of our own homes.
No matter how tame our pets may seem, they never completely lose their basic animal instincts, like hunting and fighting. And that's never more obvious than when two animals square off against each other. The results can be terrifying.
Because waiting on the other side was a ravenous 10-foot-long boa constrictor. The snake coils around the defenseless dog and begins to suffocate her.
That snake took away my best friend.
The overall effect, sometimes humorous, sometimes less so, is of a mean world in which predators of every stripe and every species seem forever on the loose.
Across the state, thousands of pythons are on the loose. A serial killer and a serial gunman are on the loose, and until they're caught, nobody is safe.
With the news media in particular presenting a nightly carnival of the most terrifying stories.
Police believe this is the very moment she was abducted.
She told of the 4 days she was chained, raped, and tortured in a Virginia townhouse.
A New Jersey woman has been charged with murdering her brother-in-law after she spiked his fruit punch with antifreeze.
Six people accused of organizing fights in a school for the mentally disabled.
He's accused of shooting a man in the head at a four-year-old's birthday party over the weekend.
And this sensationalism is especially true with local news, which is the primary news source for two-thirds of Americans, with 61% of all lead stories on the local news dedicated to crime, fires, disasters, and accidents. And with so intense and constant a focus on these kinds of stories across the broadcast airwaves, it stands to reason that the more TV you watch, the more you might develop a sense of the world as a scary and dangerous place.
I have to do what I can to protect myself and my children. And that's a fact of life, a way of life.
What cultivation analysis has done is to show how these kinds of anxieties and insecurities are caught up explicitly with media culture, uncovering a direct correlation between the amount of television one watches and the level of fear one has of being victimized.
If you look at it from a cultivation point of view, you see that the image of victimization, the image of risk, the image of danger, the conception that if there is so much violence in the world, I'm at risk. Not that I'm going to go down the street to be a mugger, but on the contrary, I'm afraid to go down the street at night. I'm afraid to go into the subways. I'm afraid of strangers. I try to cross the street when I see somebody that I think may be dangerous to me. These are the consequences of exposure to violence that are cultivated in large communities over long periods of time.
The finding that if you watch a lot of TV, you're likely to be more afraid of violence than those who watch less TV may help explain why so many people seem to think violent crime is far worse than it actually is. A widespread misperception that started to be noticed a decade ago when crime rates began to drop.
Here is the reality. Violent crime per capita actually dropped slightly in the latest figures released by the Justice Department. Nationwide, murder was down 5%.
But the perception continues to dominate reality, triggering a fear that is out of sync with statistics, a fear that no one and no place is safe anymore.
And when you're always on guard, it's hard to let go of fear, no matter what the reality.
And this classic example of the mean world syndrome continues today. In fact, since that ABC News report about falling crime rates, Justice Department figures show that violent crime has dropped an additional 43% to a remarkable 30-year low.
Anderson, the FBI says violent crime dropped 2.5% in 2008. Now, that includes an overall 4.4% decline in murders.
But despite the steady drop, polls have consistently shown that most Americans believe just the opposite to be true. That crime has actually been increasing.
Three quarters of Americans say there is more crime in the United States than there was a year ago. Gallup's annual crime poll shows it's the highest level since the early 1990s. The poll also finds 51% of Americans say there is more crime in their local area than there was a year ago.
When we see reports like this, is it any wonder that Americans seem more intent than ever on protecting themselves?
Speaking of hitting home, check this out. I'm a firearms instructor in Nassau County, Florida. Last weekend, we had 18 people go through our courses to get concealed weapons carry licenses. The number of people getting these licenses is astounding. Everyone expresses a fear of being attacked. When I go to Jacksonville's concert hall downtown, I go heavily armed because one of the neighborhoods west of there is the fourth deadliest in America. Imagine listening to Mozart carrying a .357 Magnum.
Oh, tough, tough stuff. Indeed, scary stuff. All right, Jack, thank you.
Business is booming at gun shops across the country.
One man ran into a Walmart and said, "Sell me all the ammo you have."
Pistols, shotguns, even ammunition are flying off the shelves.
There may be no better illustration of what Gerbner means by the mean world syndrome than the fact that gun sales have risen sharply during exactly the same period that crime has dropped sharply. The majority of this spike occurring over just the past 3 years alone, despite record declines in violent crime across the board. Crime may be down, but for some reason, fear doesn't seem to be.
I've always been pro-gun control, and suddenly I'm going,
I don't know. Maybe I should own a gun.
We could fall into chaos. Well, chaos is a good reason to be able to protect yourself.
You have people that are depressed, people that might be upset. You know, carrying around a gun, you know, just, you feel comfortable. You feel like you have a little bit of power.
You're protecting yourself from Americans going crazy, rioting, looting, and hurting each other. I've been through Y2K and I've been through 9/11. I have never seen people so afraid.
The logical question is, why? Why do fear and anxiety about violence seem to be rising even when the threat of violence is falling? Well, surveys consistently show that upwards of two-thirds of the people who believe crime to be a very serious personal problem say they get most of their news from television. This is the breakthrough of cultivation analysis, a clear correlation between the amount of media we consume and the degree of fear and anxiety we have about the world. A phenomenon that comes into especially clear focus when we look at how we view and treat others, especially those who are different from us.
Oh yeah, there you have it, 212-209-2950. I've just been informed I've been speaking for the last 30 minutes before I even presented this section of It's Like the Fish in the Water. The next section is, and we went through the mean world syndrome, but the next section was really helpful, and we'll get to that. It's called The Mean People, the next part, the fourth section of this hour and a half DVD called The Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. And you can sense that this documentary is providing an approach of media violence that many people really probably have not considered. And that's what I thought about it too, is like, this is what I have not considered. Instead of the traditional magic bullet theory, Gerbner came up with a concept of cultivation, realizing that looking for a direct link between media violence and actual violence was the wrong approach. Cultivation focuses on what kind of mindset people have towards different issues based on their media use. And, you know, of course, you're going to hear more about what George Gerbner said, you know, and even that notion of happy violence that we'll, you know, go into more. But first of all, we need to make the phones ring. And in studio, I have a friend who I've met recently and I've heard yesterday morning on, I got the name of the program, in No Questions Asked. Oh, yes, it was a music program. And I asked, he's here. He came in this morning and he's volunteering, and he, I said, you know, he sounded really good on the radio, so we have him in studio now. Good morning, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is from Earth Driver.
Good morning, Teokasin. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm a big, big fan of this program, and I'm here again to ask people to support 212-209-2950, First Voices Indigenous Radio. I defy anybody to point me to a comparable program available in the tri-state area. If you go scroll through your airwaves right now, there's nothing like this on the air. Okay, we're not going to hear advertisements while we're discussing these matters. So please support Teokasin. He's been a champion for indigenous rights. He's been sticking up for Mother Earth. And when I heard him speak earlier, you know, I really feel like it's a very centering message. You know, if we were born on this planet, which I think we all were, as far as I know. You know, I'm not a big subscriber of a lot of alien theories and stuff. I don't know what's out there, but I'm from planet Earth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really what we need to get down to. I agree. You know, I support the Occupy movement, but what about Mother Earth? That's fundamental. Let's put that at the front of the agenda. Not a particular political party, not a particular ism. Let's get back down to the fundamental forces that you know, they transcend anything you're going to find written in text. You know, we're talking about the forces of nature here, and that's what Teokasin has been reminding us of week in and week out for many years now. So please support this program. It's been on the air for a while, and it deserves to continue to be on the air, and not just to survive, but to flourish. 212-209-2950. Ife, what do you think?
Yeah. Ife's been with us.
Ife's a supporter and subscriber
years,
as well.
I think for 3 years.
Actually, two and a half. From 2010.
Yeah.
January 2010.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely support. 212-209-2950. We were kind of talking behind the scenes and just talking about the visual images we see on TV and how it affects all of us somehow, some way. And, I just think about how TV, how you were talking about, I think, did you say specifically Mexican? Okay. But just how black women are portrayed on TV.
Right,
you know,
in this
we're
absurd
all thugs,
way.
You know,
it's absurd. It's really insulting and it's absurd.
Exactly. So you just think about that. And, I just love what this DVD and how it's showing you, even just looking at the visually, just looking at it and how they give you all these images and, back to back. You almost have to laugh at it. Like, really? I do watch this every night.
Yeah.
Every single night. But we need people to get on the line call 212-209-2950. Hearing this sound of no phones is not acceptable. If you love what Teokasen does every Thursday, 9 a.m., he puts together a wonderful show, and you really don't. You really can't hear this anywhere else. And that's serious. So we need you to call up and pledge your support. 212-209-2950 is called Mean World Syndrome, and it's yours for $100. And if $100 is a bit too much, we can split it up. And you can, as we call it, our payment agreement or layaway plan, whatever you want to call it, is 212-209-2950. But you have to get on the phone now.
And I want to ask, too, who out there hasn't been affected by violence? I mean, how could you have lived in this society and have not been affected by irrational, tragic violence? You know, when I was 15 years old, one of my friends was murdered by the police in front of his house, just gunned down like a wild animal. And, you know, a friend's mother pointed out if that was a tiger that escaped from the zoo, they would have shot him with a tranquilizer, first of all. But in that case, when it was a black male, they just gunned him right down. And, you know, there was no hesitation about it. And there was, you know, no need for an investigation. That was considered proper procedure, proper protocol. If you go back to the famous Rodney King incident, it's very important to remember what was the legal argument of the LAPD. They basically said we were doing our jobs. We were doing what we had been trained to do.
Yeah.
They didn't deny that the violence occurred. They said they were doing exactly what they were trained to do. Just a year ago, a friend of mine, a Korean American, was murdered in Flushing, Queens. A 28-year-old man was murdered by two 16-year-old kids. So this is something that, you know, I've never been involved with a street gang. I personally am not a gun owner, but just growing up in New York, growing up in America, sadly, my life has been followed by violence. My friend, a good friend, a poet, Sharif Simmons, a well-known poet and one of my best friends, was shot and almost left for dead, was shot in his leg. And, you know, it's not like in the movies where, you know, you get shot in the leg and you still manage to take out all the bad guys and make love at the end of the night or whatever. This man, he got shot in the leg. His leg was shattered. He spent a very painful year, more than a year, multiple surgeries, skin grafting, recovering, which, you know, and he'll never fully recover. His leg was shattered. So, you know, those are three instances in my lifetime where friends of mine have been killed or nearly killed in senseless gun violence. So we really need to examine this phenomenon. We need to look into this human condition. Like Teokasen was saying, don't sit back and say, oh, well, I understand the problem.
Yeah.
Do we really? I don't think any of us fully understand the magnitude of this.
Exactly. You know, and I think about what you've been saying, Ife, and then you, Jeremiah, is that what happens is that we tend to sanitize violence. We make it sanitary that if it does not happen to us, then we're not really any part of it. Look, we live in a gated community. Our security will take care of that. But it's the insecurity that leads to the violence. That's what you do to protect that security that front gate or the police have around your gated community. And the country itself, the United States, has become a gated community at large. And which I think pretty much sums up the point, you know, because we're dealing with the walled out Mexican people, the illegal immigrants, implying that they are less human than we are, therefore, because they are poorer than we are, and they're brown skin and they're red skin people, the indigenous peoples. And, you know, we often treat that same concept is extended to the blacks, and it's also extended to the Arabs. It's also extended to, you know,
whoever,
like,
you need to extend it.
Asian, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Asian.
Asian,
American,
you
yeah.
know, Bruce Lee, all Asian people know karate mm-hmm. and judo and,
right.
you know, or on the other opposite, they're the contemplative and, you know, they're always in meditation and things right. like that.
Or super, the super smart, everyone, mm-hmm. they all yeah. know math or whatever the case is. I can remember that being in high
right,
school.
Just tons was, of stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly. Tons of it.
Well, folks, that number to call to really, you know, get part of, you're hearing part of the discussion from a listener and a producer here at WBAI who's been here every Thursday while I ran and rave at you about what destruction to Mother Earth, you know, and I'm thinking about, you know, how we make weather violent, the violent weather, right. the violent tornadoes, the violent tsunami, the violent earthquake, the violent blizzard, the violent mm-hmm. rainstorm. So we're turning Mother Nature into the violence that we are because we have forgot our connection with that. Instead of trying to live with Mother Earth, we're kind of like living against it. So
Absolutely.
We turn, and you can think about how that is extended into our communities, how we think by, you know, by merely paying attention to our own, that we're going to escape everything. That's how good this documentary is. It talks about the analysis that George Gerbner is offering on this $100 DVD that we're offering to you. The Mean World Syndrome has led people's to have these beliefs when in actuality they were untrue about what violence and how it came and how it perpetuated today and how it makes us more scared of violence being done to us. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're all walking around in this great fantasy of this illusion of fear. Well, commercial media has really eclipsed commercial media that we are looking at. Has eclipsed religion, art, and storytelling. Religion, art, and storytelling are the basis and the foundation of culture. And we don't have that. We've allowed TV to take care of it. We've allowed movies to take care of it. Media in the mass and even in the alternative sector has taken that on for us. So we're just doing what the, like the policeman says, we're doing our job. And that proves there's no personal sovereignty. No one thinks for themselves anymore unless it's
and
in
that's
a
considered
sense,
admirable.
That's admirable. Yeah, and they're thinking because
the soldier who doesn't think just follows orders.
Exactly. There's
soldier.
No humanity in it. There's no personal critical sovereignty in that. So therefore, and I said this earlier, another fundraising is that it takes 12 years to learn how to listen to authority and be reflexive to it and react to it and do what it says when we do hear it. So that's why they have grades 1 to 12, it takes 12 years to deprogram you from being a human being into being, I'm just doing my
right,
job.
Right, and when you graduate, they put a little square cap on your head
oh, yeah.
to
you know, all these
symbolize
things, ironic.
Your indoctrination.
But, folks, this is that DVD we're talking about, the Mean World Syndrome. We need it to start ringing right now. The Media World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. Overall, this is a very good documentary, excellent. This documentary does not stumble at any point, folks. There is no weak spot in it at all. And it uses ample amount of statistics, to back up its arguments. It used plenty of relatable examples. This is an engaging and informative, and everyone should watch it. Your kids, all of you, documentaries like this are one of the only ways to make people realize that what right. they see is not necessarily an accurate depiction of the real world. And that's what we miss, folks. We need to get back into that idea of cultivating peace rather than cultivating fear. And how do we do that? By looking at DVDs and how we analyze things like this.
And let me just say, you know, looking at the images in the studio from the DVD, you know, this DVD could possibly be the beginning of a sort of, you know, unwrapping of that conditioning that we've gone through. Because if you see some of these films, like, you know, like take a film that's shown in the DVD, Pulp Fiction, you know, if you see some of these images in a different context, in a critical context, then you really see that, you know, this is unacceptable. You know, it's not, why would I go and see a movie where somebody's brains get blown out and I just laugh about it like it's a joke? That's not entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's not really something we should look at and think that it's a good thing that we're looking at. So I think to see some of these same images we may have seen in popular film in a different context is hopefully the beginning of a process of re-education. And hopefully when we look back at some of those images, or if we were exposed to some of those things in the future, we can recognize that, you know, that this is not normal. This is not okay. We just heard the phone ring, and we need to hear that phone ring again. We have our little screen here, and we kind of hit a little slow spell here, but jump in the mix, pick up the phone, 212-209-2950. Support Teocasin Ghost Horse, First Voices Indigenous Radio.
You know, contrary to commonly held assumptions, and despite the increasing amount of time devoted to the web, to the computer, to the internet, and the growing array of portable devices to divert us from reality, is as for accessing it, television viewing continues to rise. Imagine that.
Wow.
Even because we watch television on our computers now. We watch YouTube. We watch that same thing, and that has sway and influences our thinking now. So it's not the computer is taking away us from television. In fact, television can be watched on a computer and the television screen itself. So we are watching more of that.
They actually have websites dedicated to just violence.
I was just going to say that.
Literally just watching people getting beat up, slapped. You name it, it's just for that.
Even on television, I mean, we're not necessarily even talking about, like, you know, hard to find websites. I mean, turn on your television, just shows about people just getting hurt. Like, ha ha ha, that guy fell down and looks
very
like.
True, yeah.
And to me, I can't even really watch that stuff. And it frightens me that there's enough of an audience for that, that they're putting it on TV. It has the advertising money. Mm-hmm. And if you think that's not affecting your brain, I think you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you subject yourself to these images, and we're all being subjected to it, you know, it's having an effect. So this documentary is examining, well, what is the effect of that? And that's a really important examination.
The mean world syndrome. It is media violence and the cultivation of fear. 212-209-2950, folks. We need to raise the tally board that we have here, 212-209-2950, to look at how pervasive exposure to media violence affects attitudes and perceptions of and attitudes towards the real world. And if we think we're in the real world because we're watching television, or we're even getting away from natural processes. And this is my part. The natural processes of Mother Earth, that's the real world. But we are getting away from that. So we acquiesce, we get away from the cultivation hypothesis that George Gerdner is talking about here, and we get into the culture of fear. We're not saying, you know, we're looking at we're too easily giving over to the magic bullet theory that, okay, if we approach it this way, then we'll get over it. That's not right anymore. Because I think we need to debate, and we need to descend from our heavenly miraculous that we have the happy ending because we're all Americans attitude, and get down into the attitudes that we perpetuate. You know, even in the aggression of peace people, those of you out there who cultivate peace, well, you're saying my peace is more better than your peace. That's still an aggression. That's still a beginning of a violence to say your peace is better than my peace. And that's just the same old hierarchical thinking that's coming out of that violent, because all you're doing is trying to get away from violence, and you're not doing anything about it. You're exonerating yourself from the actual process of what violence really is. And that I'm adding to that. I'm adding to the mean world syndrome, because I don't think much is given to the indigenous philosophies of life, how we value life rather than how we are in fear of death, because this society is all about cultivating the fear of death, cultivation of fear. And that's one thing I'd like you to understand by getting this DVD for $100 here on First Voices Indigenous Radio, WBAI. We'll send you this Media World, the Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. Yes, we need you. Those of you who are calling, we do need you. We need the tally board to get up there. We have to stop this happy violence and the excuse and the rationalization of it, and looking for that happy ending in the violent films. Oh, we saved the world. will we save the country or we save this. It's too much of the salvation point mentality where it has nothing to do with reality anymore. And so we're getting into the commercialization of religion and spirituality and the commercialization of art and the commercialization of storytelling. And that is not the real world. So what we have to understand is that that media has made us more scared of violence being done to us. And, you know, and so we're all afraid of each other. We're not intimate in our philosophies anymore. So that gets us away from being real. We get into, well, what can I do to protect what I have? The ownership is not a responsibility. Ownership is not a responsibility in the way that greed is doled out to the people. And it's done by the media influence and media violence that's doled out to people. This film, this documentary by the late George Gerbner is groundbreaking analysis of that media influence and media violence. And for years, debates have raged among all the scholars and all the politician and even concerned parents. This DVD belongs in high schools. It belongs in grad schools. It belongs in the private and the public sector. We need to confront violence because what we talk about here on WBAI is a result of why we don't look at violence. I really, really know that. I don't believe that. I know that. And I start with what we say in a home is because we begin to bottle feed our babies. It's the first disconnection of a natural process of learning how to take care of Mother Earth.
Wow, that was so powerful, Teokasen. People need to make a pledge just for this insights and inspiration. 212-209-2950. It's only a $100 pledge. And this is a really remarkable film that looks at why we're living in the world we're living in. And it's not just spoon feeding us violence. That is used as a means of controlling our minds. So the power elite can actually engage in that violence and bomb other countries and steal the resources of other countries and be competitive and be destructive on a global scale. So that it's and you have to think of the people of those lands, the indigenous people of those lands are left bereft in complete poverty and without any kind of rights and civil liberties. Why? It's all about using violence to liberate resources from the peoples of the world. And we have to understand how we perpetuate that by keeping and allowing ourselves to feed into this system, by not understanding the mechanism of what's happening inside our mind. And how is it that we are being so disconnected from the earth, from our own being, from our own heart, from our ability to have intuitive knowledge? You know, this is a destruction of humanity's selfhood. That's what the media is dishing out to us. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that they give us a full supply of lies and deceptions at the same time about what's really going on in the world. And we're here at WBAI about being empowered, and that you should be empowered to be able to see the truth when you look at it and not be absorbed into it, not have yourself be disappeared into the drama of the TV screen. 212-209-2950 is your number to call to show your support for WBAI. You are supporting an extended First Voices, which is one of the stellar programs here at the radio station. It's of supreme importance because this is the wisdom being shared here, is the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the ancient and the original peoples of this planet. And I think that if we're going to survive, then we have to begin to live according to that wisdom. Yeah. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. And we need to get a full board of phone calls. We need to have your support. We need to, and we've got a few more minutes here. And I know, I feel quite sure we can double and triple the support we've had so far, because many of you have had the time to think, to listen, and to consider, and to realize how important this radio station is. The number is 212-209-2950.
I mean, there's so many people who could really use this documentary. If your life has personally been affected by violence, go and get this documentary and take the time to think about the psychodynamics of maybe that event that affected your life. If you have a young person in your home who maybe you feel a disconnect with. People, you know, a lot of young people particularly are being targeted by this violent culture, increasing levels of violence in music, video games that, you know, have taken the psychology of indoctrinating people with violence to a deeper level than even movies, I think, are capable of. You know, get this documentary and watch it with your family. There's no one that lives in this urban environment, in this concrete jungle, who hasn't been affected by violence. We're hearing about gun homicide on a regular basis. Noam Chomsky, for instance, has talked about how murder with guns.
Oh, Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, he's talking about how murder with guns is just such an outstanding feature of this culture.
I know Michael Moore talked a few years ago about how, you know, Detroit is like sort of the murder capital and blah, blah, blah. But then right across the river, you have the city, and I don't know what it is, but Canada has more guns, you know, per capita, but there's like, you know, hardly any murders.
When I was in Detroit, they told me that the people get murdered and they don't even call the police.
Yeah, That's crazy. That's
Yeah, and that doesn't leave out also the police violence itself on the youth. That's another aspect of it. Are we going back to some of the DVD?
We are going to the I had it skip ahead, skip ahead to the fallout, because I really think that this is a mainstay of the whole DVD, 212-209-2950, and we're going to get to that. And it's the way the news media treats illegal immigrants and implies that they are less human. And other groups, the black people, the blacks as well, and the Arab present representation. So this is the fallout. So we can say, yeah, we have happy violence and violence, but what is the other end of violence? We haven't looked at that. We don't look at the consequence of violence enough. And it's so much so that violence has become the universal language today. Violence is the universal language, and that's acceptable now out there, but not with me. And if you are a listener and violence is not acceptable to you, and on the other end is that four-letter word, L-O-V-E, that's used to be, or is it, has it ever been the universal language? For me, it's a different thing. You know, peace seems to be, that's what it is, but not the peace that has gotten away from either accepting violence as it is or even as a universal language. So what I'm talking about is this film, this documentary, The Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. And we're going to go to at least 5 minutes of the last part called The Fallout here from Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence, and the Cultivation of Fear. $100 yours here by calling the number 212-209-2950.
We have to protect our people from killers, people who prey on our society. The only thing we can do is take these people off the streets and put them in cages where they belong.
The political fallout is that if you raise the level of insecurity in people in a large population, they are more likely to demand protection. Candidates compete with one another as to who can advocate the harsher sentences.
Democrats and Republicans will have to be careful not to get into a bidding war about who's tougher on crime. Why not two strikes and you're out? Or one?
If you have a large population that is insecure and is expecting some kind of assurance or reassurance or some kind of protection, they are more likely to accept political solutions to the problems of society, like poverty and urban decay and the urban cultural violence, not to remedy the root causes, but simply solutions that represent more repression, more police.
Put your hands now! On the ground! On the ground! Get down!
More jails.
A shocking new number was released today, and it deserves our undivided attention. One out of every 100 Americans is now behind bars, locked up in prison or in jail.
Longer and harsher sentences, more executions, a medieval barbarism that no other civilized country even contemplates anymore.
It's not as far-fetched as you may think. Given time and technology, scientists say, space-based human warehouses could be the prisons of the future. Just one of dozens of concepts now being discussed by a handful of penology experts in America who are charting the future. Ideas for the next millennium call for everything from underwater prison pods to actually freezing prisoners for the length of their sentences in order to hold down on cost. And surgically implanted electrodes could even shock them until they return to where they're supposed to be.
Basically, a message is being typed into the subconscious constantly. Do the right thing. Do what's required of you. Be a good citizen. Don't disobey the law.
And if you think space prisons are a stretch, listen to this one.
So say we have a 20-year-old that's committed a violent crime. Why don't we age him 25 years, make him 45, put him back on the streets, and not have to worry about this?
But it's not just that we imprison more people. We imprison ourselves. We are all paralyzed, fleeing to our suburbs.
Welcome to my community, Hot Springs Village. We have the freedom and the space to do the things we enjoy. We're also a secure community. Access to Hot Springs Village is controlled by 24-hour manned and electronic security gates.
Mean World Syndrome contributes to a sense not only of vengeance and repression, but to a sense of panic.
This is Chris from Brinks Home Security. Are you all right?
No, someone just tried to break in. The alarm.
Get them off. Are you home alone?
Yeah, my parents just left.
This is another element of the mean world syndrome, a kind of insecurity that makes it very difficult to address our problems except in ways of fear.
Is it an anomaly?
How bad is it?
Traffic's off the chart.
Isolate. Prevent damage.
Got him.
Beyond the home, in a kind of seamless blending of how fear can bridge the personal and the political, Gerbner argued that the flip side of personal insecurity is the heightened demand for national security.
In an increasingly dangerous world, even after the first terrorist attack on America, the liberals in Congress voted to slash America's intelligence operations. And weakness attracts those who are waiting to do America harm.
Fear is now a staple of American politics. And whether it's been used to justify going to war...
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Botulin, VX, sarin, nerve agent.
Terrorism. Cyber attacks.
Nuclear program.
Biological weapons.
Or to prepare for constantly new and emerging threats.
This is the epicenter of violent extremism practiced by Al-Qaeda. This is no idle danger, no hypothetical threat.
The question with all of this, as we look at the fear-charged political landscape, is whether these images of a mean world spiraling out of control, threatening to do us harm at every turn, have contributed to a sense of anxiety and fear that is overwhelming our ability to think clearly and rationally, beyond a reasonable concern for security and the need to defend ourselves. What mattered most to Gerbner was that the violent imagery that fills up everyday mainstream television and film and news and reality programming is likely to create in most regular viewers a sense of fear and mistrust, with implications that reach far beyond media entertainment, into the very depths of how we perceive the world and our place in it.
Yeah, you know, that is the last section called the fallout, you know, what we actually are thinking up. And you know, I know there's callers out there that want to call in and sort of figure out how we can donate to First Voices Indigenous Radio on WBAI to keep that radio program at its slot at 9 a.m. every Thursday. Right now we are doing a special from 10 until 12. We have about 9 more minutes, and I would like you to call the number 212-209-2950 as soon as you can, because before you go off to lunch or before you go off to breakfast or dinner, depending when you work here in the United States and in New York City, we are a people, we are a culture, we are a culture of fear. That's basically what it is. How do we understand where we are at unless we look at this? It's like, you know, the fish in water doesn't know they are in fish. They don't know they are in water. The fish in water doesn't know they are in water until it's taken away from them. So we are in culture of fear, and we don't even know it because we are in that syndrome of it. And this has become more intense over time. But those peoples who come from outside of the system understand it and see it more effectively, that this influence that it has on our behavior, what television, what movies, what entertainment, the entertainment industry that perpetuates the ideas constructed by the mass media and the so-called injected appropriate messages that you are supposed to be afraid of those brown skin, those red skins, those black skin, those yellow skins, and even the white skins out there that who don't go along with the system. This is part of who you are, folks. WBAI is part of you. We need to think about WBAI now, BAI as a community. We really do, and I sincerely know that we need your help. I know this stuff. My experience here for the last 10 years is about bringing you this message that there is no other radio station like WBAI, no other radio station that has the world's indigenous news about indigenous peoples, your ancestors from wherever, but yet we are 5%. You know, there are people who call in, and I used to have this message, voice message here at WBAI, and there were a few callers that would call in and leave really hate messages for me, and telling me where I should go, how I should think as an Indian, you know, and all the derogatory remarks that come in with that violence. That violence about not being acceptable because we are, you know, of a political slant, of a religious slant, and we are not civilized, all those things. Because I know about this. It's easy for me to spot out a racist, and it doesn't have to be of one particular color, because the colonialism has happened. The colonialism has perpetuated the violence. And it's now in a global, it's not just a handful of global conglomerates. It's all of us. We are voting for the system. We are selling the system. And that's what and where violence starts. And we have to understand and to become more intense over the time with really keeping WBAI in place. And I ask you now to go to your phone to make a pledge for $100 to get this DVD, the full DVD, and it has sections also that you can present in small sections and discuss each section as it goes through. There's one extra feature here, Media as Storytellers, Nothing to Tell, but a lot to sell. There's another one called A Mean World Case Study, Child Abductions. There's another one, Further Effects of Mean World Syndrome, Desensitization and Acceleration, English sometimes. But this is put forth by George Gerbner, who lived till 2005 and was one of the world's foremost authorities on the effects of media violence. He turned to the study of violence, which after earning a Bronze Star for bravery in battle during World War II, serving as dean of the Annenberg School of Communication for 25 years, he coined the phrase mean world syndrome to describe his finding that people who watch large amounts of television are more likely to perceive the world as dangerous and a frightening place. And so that's where we're at today, right now. Call the number 212-209-2950. We need to get the phones ringing once more. There's much more to this DVD that we didn't show you, we didn't play for you, and we need to really understand and analyze rather than the old way of giving the magic bullet to take care of the problem. We analyze this, and this is what he does. George Gerbner's views and how pervasive exposure to media violence affects the attitudes and perceptions towards the real world, and based on a central idea of the cultivation of hypotheses that those who watch more television are more likely to regard the real world according to the themes, messages most recurrent in what they absorb from the world of television and other things, even though that you may not have a television in your home. You are still influenced by the people around you that have televisions. And so we are not exempt from the persuasion or the influence of mainstream or the people who watch television and the media's promulgation of negative stereotypes of African Americans, of Latinos, of Muslims, of indigenous peoples, and the domestic politics and foreign policies that go along with it. You know, so we are being influenced by that application of commercialization to everything. You know, the Gerbner's ideas about the coverage of child abduction stories and how exposure to media violence nuances some people to real violence while raising an appetite for it in others. And so we have to look at this, really have to settle down and look at this. Settle down. It takes 3 minutes to go to the phone to say, I want to donate $100 for this DVD that Teokasin is offering here on First Voices Indigenous Radio. WBAI is that number, is that station that you are listening to now, the 99.5 FM. We are here. We only have 2 minutes, folks, and can we light up the board? We have one caller on the line. We have a little over, with tally lag, I'd say close to $3,000. We need to make much more of that. I will not be here next week, folks. I will not be here because I have things to do that are very helpful to all of us, all of life, not just the human factor, because there are a lot of Sundances and the people back home that I have to pay attention to. And that is really relevant for me as a Lakota person to understand and reflect and refer to the prayerful thought, the energy, using the energy properly. And as you call it, a spirit or religion, we don't have that. We have an energy, and we need to understand that message, that energy, and how we use it. So this is part of the message here, that we, the mean world syndrome, is using the energy properly. Let's light up that board right now. There are three callers on the line. 212-209-2950 is a number to call. 212-209-2950. Let's light it up. Let's get this $100 pledge from Teokasin and WBAI, the Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. 212-209-2950. Let's not look at the normal story anymore, because that's distorting perceptions of risk and danger in the world, folks. We need to understand it's making us more scared of violence being done to us, folks. And what is the consequence of that? Well, you can only find out even more about what I just said. The Mean World Syndrome DVD, over an hour, close to an hour and a half, The Mean World Syndrome, Media Violence and the Cultivation of Fear. It's time to cultivate the peace that we all need. 212-209-2950. Jeremiah, I'd like to thank you.
We're out of here.
And for coming in and sitting in. And, of course, Ife for being here. And we are preparing for the next radio program. And I really want to thank all of you who have donated and really thought about this. You can continue to donate. You can continue to come in and volunteer your time. Donate your time and answer phones for us and any other thing throughout the year. 212-209-2950.
No donation is too large or small.
That's right. We'll take everything, even you know, a handshake. That's part of it. 212-209-2950. Thank you so much. This is Teokasin Ghost Horse, and I appreciate you. I value you. I appreciate you. Thank you. I honor you.
Thank you. You are listening to WBAI in New York City, 99.5 on your FM dial. Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the Liquid Sound Lounge. I am one of the co-hosts. Hopefully I'll be joined by another host pretty soon as the program continues. Jeannie Hopper's taking a little family break down in the South. She might call in during the course of these 2 hours. She will definitely be back next week for our three-hour membership drive. So this is altogether, we'll have 5 hours of the Liquid Sound Lounge Summer Membership Drive, and we are bringing back a premium back by popular demand. Two premiums, that is. One of them is limited, but the main one is the Super Duper. You know, that's the name of Jeannie's band. Jeannie DJing with Jay Rodriguez and Pablo on keys. A special holiday set done December 2011. Super Duper Live Holiday Set. That can be yours. One CD for $35 to pledge your support to your listener-sponsored radio station. We do have 10 copies only of a very popular New Blue Super Duper set. It's the same Super Duper CD, Holiday Party, plus a New Blue CD in addition. That's two CDs for a pledge of $55. And you want to get a New Blue flavor, check out Jeannie July 21st. She'll be doing an anniversary party for New Blue on Saturday, July 21st. We'll tell you more about that later. Also, you can go to our liquidsoundlounge.com website to get more information about that July 21st party. Also, our August 10th boat cruise, Liquid Sound Lounge Summer Boat Cruise. We'll be down here in the Wall Street area. We only have 100 tickets for that, so check out liquidsoundlounge.com for more information. In the meantime, in between time, we have our summer membership drive special. You're going to hear some great music tonight. And if you are so inclined to pledge your support to your listener-sponsored radio station, a very unique media institution in the midst of many corporate institutions, maybe a lot of consolidated institutions, this is an institution that you control with your money and your support. Also, you're welcome to come down and pledge, you know, help us in the tally room if you feel so inclined. We have a very, very comfortable, well-stocked, air-conditioned, and, you know, we give you, some nice refreshments in there as well. So you want to come down, 212-209-2950 is the number to call to pledge your support and to register to come down and volunteer to your radio station. 212-209-2950. We're going to play a special mix to get you in that mood. And we also have the Super Duper mix coming up later. So if you like what you hear, you're encouraged to come down and, so help support this radio station, as well as give us a call, 212-209-2950, to pledge your support to the Liquid Sounds here on WBI New York City, 99.5 on your FM dial.
Temptation. I'm not afraid to die. Don't try to find me tonight.
You are listening to WBAI in New York City, 99.5 on your FM dial. This is Jeannie Hopper's Liquid Sound Lounge, and as I promised you, I've been joined. I am one of the hoes, the co-ho, and we have the pro-ho who just entered, and he's in a ticklish mood.
Oh,
Reggie's in the house.
Steve.
You might have heard Reggie, cajoling and, massaging the egos of people late night. Tuesday going into Wednesday when you had your From the Soundboard show.
Oh, From the Soundboard about
playing Paul Mooney and George Carlin.
Yes, yes. What better combination than that? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, very, you know, they were contemporaries, no mm-hmm. doubt, you know, and they respected each other's work.
Yes, they did.
And they were very colorful in their language.
Very colorful. And they tell the truth.
Truthful.
Yes.
As well.
Those are the type of premiums you get when you pledge your support to your listener.
No doubt.
Sponsored radio station. We'd like to thank the pledger who we have one premium package that's gone. So we only have 9 left of the $55 New Blue double CD set. You get a New Blue CD plus a mix CD from Jeannie.
Oh.
And if we run out of that, then we have the unlimited amounts of the $35 Super Duper Live CD mix. That is Jeannie's band. She plays along with Jay Rodriguez and Pablo on keys, and she's DJing along with that old school musician DJ type mix. Great holiday party
that
we did
hot.
2011. So that's yours for $35. You pledge your support to your listener sponsored radio station, 212-209-2950 WBAI, part of the Pacifica Network. Not corporate controlled, not corporate influence, influenced by the people. And we need that in today's society, right?
Especially.
Somebody you can trust, somebody you can depend on, because you are the ones that are controlling it. Stop letting other people control your media. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. It's something I didn't even care about. You know, a lot of times you have service providers or that have a problem with a cable channel, mm-hmm. saying they want to pay a fee, mm-hmm. whatever. Now, I have DirecTV, and they have a problem with Viacom. I could care less.
Right.
I really don't care. It's millionaires fighting with billionaires. I haven't watched MTV. Take it off. I don't care anymore.
That's right.
All right? I really don't.
Yeah, I get it.
Fight. Y'all can kill each other. But this institution is a listener-sponsored institution. We control it. We run things. We meaning the people out in the audience, people who come to our events, people who support this station, people who pledge online, WBI.org. We run things. And that, we can solve our problems. All the problems you see out here, it's up to us to solve them. Don't depend on any of these knuckleheads out here to do it.
You know, and the
believe
beauty,
in you.
And the beauty of WBAI, of Pacifica, is that we give you the information. Unfettered.
Straight, no chaser.
We give you the information, and we respect the intelligence of the audience enough where you decide for yourself.
Yes. You make that decision.
Power
is in your hand.
That's right. That's why we call this listener sponsored, because you are our sponsor here at WBAI. You keep the engine running.
Yep.
With your monetary support here. So
since 1960.
52 years.
It's never as bad as you think it is, because we've been here for 52 mm-hmm. years. I thought about that the other day, because Kiss FM came on the air in 81 and they're gone. And BAI, Pacifica, we were here before them.
Right.
And we're still here.
Right.
So we're not completely dysfunctional. Something has to be going right.
Right. And just to go back to what you were saying about with Kiss FM, at the time, Kiss FM was the fifth most listened to station in the city, but that was all irrelevant because they couldn't garner enough of the ad sales, which for commercial radio, that's what keeps them running.
Yes, just like our listeners, our